Okay, so I'm really excited to be releasing my first mini episode. If you didn't hear in the last episode, Ray and Kelly were talking a lot about business and how they run their wedding photography business and got into the Enneagram and how it's basically transformed the way they think about each other. And we went on for quite a while just talking about the Enneagram. It's something that really interests me and has for a long time. It's something they're very, very knowledgeable about. And I thought it was just a cool little section to include for y'all. So enjoy this Thursday treat of a little talk about the Enneagram. If you have questions or comments, hit me up on social media. I'd love to talk about some of this stuff, and I'm sure we could get Ray and Kelly involved too. And yeah, I hope you enjoy.
But yeah, understanding where those should be makes a big difference.
Yes.
Yeah. So how do you have those conversations with one another? Cause it feels like it's not just, I mean, it's like there's a whole thing here, right? It's not easy. Yeah.
Okay. So this is where we probably are going to have to bring up the Enneagram.
I assumed we would get there at some point. Okay.
No, truly there. It's funny because I went to school for communication, and so I loved personality tests. I've always been drawn to them. I think they're so fascinating, but for so many of them and through like college years and pre-marriage, I just did them to figure out myself and, you know, care about more like the selfish side of like, I just want to know what I'm like, and then think like, oh, other people are like that, and put them in boxes a little bit more. But to us, the first time that I kind of introduced Ray to the Enneagram, he was super curious. He never cared about any of the other ones. And so he got more into it than I did. And I think the key thing as to why we both really appreciate it is because it's helped us to not only see our own, you know, like positive, negative kind of characteristics or like types of our or parts of our personality, but it's really helped us to value like the different parts of other people, and not just our spouse, but of so many people in our lives that we've seen either, I don't know, a thread of like some disconnect, or a thread of like, oh, that person's a little harder to deal with than other people for me. And so now I feel like we have these different pairs of glasses that we can put on to try and understand how and why people are the way they are. And it's great. We love it.
So you think as the Enneagram as a tool for your marriage even has been super helpful in just the way that you work?
Totally.
For
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. We went to a marriage conference last weekend, literally.
Yes.
And we were like, okay, when are they going to put the Enneagram
in
here? Because all these little silly things of like, are you a land the plane or go circle or whatever, round and round. We're like, this is like so surface compared to understanding our differences of motivations and how we are driven towards things and how we interact in health and non-health and stress and non-stress, and how we have the capabilities to change that and interact around each other. It helps us to see each other better and kind of be more patient a little bit with each other in our just natural like rhythms and ruts and the circles that we kind of continually go in. And
yeah.
So instead of holding it against each other in when we're seeing it well, we can use it to work as a better team as compared to enemies. No, never.
Okay. We're going to have to super slow down right now because I am totally with you on the whole Enneagram thing. But it's become such a hip thing, right? Like it's the big thing right now. Are y'all still around?
Yeah, we're still here.
Okay. Okay. But it's become so hip, right? Like it's everywhere, it seems like. And like 4-ish years ago, whatever it was, I was into Richard Rohr, and I was reading his stuff and discovering this whole Enneagram thing. And now it's like the cool thing on the block. And I feel like it loses some of its credibility in some of that. Would y'all
agree? Well, and
that
easily gets turned into, you know, just shallow. At its at its worst or at its shallow points, it is just a caricature of people, you know, right. and something simply to kind of use as a, I was going to say, so we live in a little town though. So the popularity is like, yes. And in this small town though, not, we're like trying to push, you know, a lot more people to its non way out there ness, you know, but yeah, it certainly is in general.
Well, so I find it super fascinating that this has been an amazing tool for your marriage and your business and all this stuff. Can you sort of delve into that? Because I feel like there may be people listening who have no clue about Enneagram and don't want to. Can you sort of explain what y'all mean by...
I mean, so yeah, there are nine numbers that have been grouped or specifically split apart. And I think there's a lot of kind of origins stories, but in general, the popular one is that monks a couple hundred years ago developed this system of seeing how the other monks interact. And so to me, they're so, okay. So the big one, probably the alternative would be Myers-Briggs, like one of the, what I would think the more popular other assessments. And to me, it's fascinating, but it's hard to follow the complexity of what turns into alphabet soup. And so that's why it was sort of interesting, but, and then it just very much leaves you there, I think. Whereas the Enneagram, one of the big aspects is it gives you your kind of type. And then it also gives you how they interact in strength and in stress or health, stress and comfort, whatever it is. And so like, that's so interesting on a personal level of just like where I can go. And then it gets so much more complex when they're, numbers next to you that kind of relate to you, and then other numbers, and then subtypes. And so the amount of complexity to me is like onion.
There's so many layers.
Like,
yeah.
You can leave it at like, I read one book and I know what it's all
right.
about.
Well, in general too, you can, I mean, there are great tests that are like a 10-minute test online that you can take, and you can figure out which of the nine types is your basic personality type. And that's a great starting point, even knowing that, I think. And you can go into the other layers if you want to, but I feel like it's just a really, I mean, like any personality test, it just reveals a little bit more that you don't know or see about yourself that you forget other people see, like blatantly, usually. So
one of our funny things that we realized right away, I'm a nine, Ray is, and then Kelly's a six. And the two numbers, we're both, one of our key characteristics is that we are both indecisive.
Really indecisive.
But for totally kind of different angles. And so her indecisiveness is a little
fear,
bit more
usually.
Like fear of like uncertainty.
I
want to
know all the facts, and I want to figure out all the details so that I can feel like I'm making the best possible decision usually. But Ray isn't that.
And me, I like see a lot of perspectives, and in some way I'm just like apathetic to like
choose
to pushing my own kind of needs.
Yeah.
And so I'll just kind of ride backseat to anything. And so, yeah, once we like read that, we're like, oh, that explains
huge.
Like 1,000 stories that like come up in our life and like
so,
every
so
restaurant
many
choice ever. We're like, it all makes sense and is... And we're still hopefully not, and so maybe knowing that we're not so doomed to
chained
repeat
to it,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah,
like we can move beyond this a little
or
bit.
Or laugh at it a little more too.
Yeah, that's awesome. So anything besides the sort of indecisiveness, just about the six, the base is fear,
yeah.
Right? And then a nine, the base is...
Well, negative side of it. It's called the loyalist. That's a nicer word.
Loyalist. Okay.
And then the nine is the peacemaker.
Peacemaker.
So my
the
need
peacemaker.
Would be
okay.
to like avoid conflict pretty much. And so I'm a little more chill / apathetic about life.
Well, so I'm a three, and my stress point moves to a nine. So I totally get the apathy. Like if I don't want to do something, it will not get done.
It will or it won't, you know, like so I think like there's different opinions on this, but I was just listening to Susan Stabile, and she was saying like, essentially even in our stress, we have the potential to go towards the good side of that number or the bad side of that number. And so your normal inclination, probably in your, you know, laziest, like less ambitious stress, is just to like go low. It's easier. It's what we all like naturally do. And yet, like, I think we all have the possibility, like even in stress, of kind of overcoming that by going to the positive side of 9 in your case, or for mine, like going to the positive side of 6. And so it's, yeah, you have to like sit there and process that one a little bit. But I was listening to that and I was like, this is really fascinating in even that ability. Like, just because I'm in stress doesn't mean I have to become my worst self, kind of thing.
Okay. That's super interesting. So my journey with Enneagram, the Rohr stuff, Richard Rohr stuff, his books, and then I have listened to a bunch of his stuff online, but it doesn't go much beyond that, right? So it took me forever to figure out I was a 3. I kept, I thought I was an 8 for a while. People have thought I was an 8 because it's one of those aggressive types, you know?
One of those that you love when people call you that.
Yeah, you know what? But I know 8s, and I really like 8s in general. 3s and 8s get along well.
Advocate.
But I was not there. Yes. You know what I mean? So it took me forever. I'm back and forth. And then one of my friends who was in Enneagram was like, "Have you ever considered you were a 3?" I was like, "I have never considered that, but it's spot on for me." So all that to say, what sort of resources would you point people to who sort of wanted to delve more into Enneagram?
There's some super basic ones. The Enneagram Institute website is great. I call that free therapy because you can go there and you can look up how your type relates or interacts with another number type that
like
you
your
may
spouse
not
particular. And so it's basic, but not in that aspect. Like
no,
those little
super dynamic
2-paragraph descriptions, like, If you have your numbers right, will probably be a little bit
so helpful.
Revealing to your relationship in a lot of times ways you didn't really see, but you sense once you read it.
And then we loved a couple books and podcasts that are by similar groups of people.
Yeah, Susan Stabile and Ian Cron wrote The Road Back to You. And that's probably what I'd tell people if they wanted read through all the numbers. Their book was like so just like front to back readable, you know, whereas like Rohr's stuff is really good, but it's a little dense, you know, even though it's just like longer versus theirs, like you can read in a day or two if you go at it. And then she wrote a follow-up called The Path Between Us that just came out a couple months ago. And that one's a good one too, like a little bit more how you relate relationally
with
to
others,
all the numbers. Because the lazy way to do it is just to read your number and then leave it at that. But like, the ability to see all your people in community, you know, like we never can know for sure all the numbers, but if we have an idea of kind of how people interact, we can stop, you know, like we can see the beauty in that. I
feel like that to me too is so helpful to learn how to love people well too, because if we're not understanding, like, first of all, motivations, but also how people actually feel loved, like not necessarily speaking their language when you're trying to show that, then it's really hard to display that, you know? So I think it's important to want to learn about other people so that we can love them well, essentially.
Yeah, I feel like I say it all the time, but I feel like in churches and in communities, a lot of times it's we like certain numbers and we don't like other numbers as a community. And so like we value ones in particular, you know,
well,
we value
too.
Threes. Yeah. In culture. Yeah. As well. But, and yes, there are other numbers that we like don't see as valuable. And I think
that
is so destructive
harmful,
to like our communities when we, you know, don't see the beauty of this, the complexity of each one of these people, you know, and their what they can bring and kind of what they can be stuck in too, you know, like we can see their worst and just leave it at that. And
or
then
we
can
help pull each other.
Yeah. Not
that
have
too.
A vision of their possibility for health, you know, like if we are that hopeful healthy perspective and encouragement, I think.
So. Yeah, I think that's, I mean, to us, that's the visual of the body, you know, like that's how we then appreciate all the different parts of a church and how we can actually see people as genuinely valuable, even when we think they're not, you know, like when we personally are like, well, that's not my motivation or that's not what I'm good at. And so you're kind of inferior for whatever reason, you know, and that just isn't, that's just not love. So we have to work at it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I totally agree. Yeah, I think just this picture, when I preach, I actually try to think through the other Enneagram types and like, cause I feel like I just get so caught up in my stuff, you know, I don't think about other people's stuff sometimes, you know, and just what they might be sort of struggling with, I guess, you know?
Yeah. Their main motivations, yeah. Like it's hard to see outside of yours sometimes and be like, this is all we're striving for. And yet like we all have this 9 different like holy ideals and it's like, it's hard to make that
too.
Work in community, you know, like, that yeah. we can all balance these ideals and be better for it, you know, and hearing each other out. So the other resource, they do podcasts.
Yeah. Typology.
The Typology podcast. And then Susan Stabile does her own.
Yeah, we can send you those links.
But then great. We would be remiss if we didn't mention the music.
Yeah.
Yes, you turned me on to this. Yes,
Blast
so
is
good.
The artist, they have been putting out the last few months just creating a song with that as the heart of it. So the Enneagram number as the heart of it. And so they've done 1 through 4 at this point. And all of them are so great because the story of each one is redemptive. So even though it sounds, you know, like the beginning of a lot of them, I cry at every one because they're so deeply rooted to like the struggle that number has. And so you can even relate to it in the smallest bit, even
yeah,
if you're not that number.
Yeah.
And then you hear how that struggle is redeemed essentially. And I just love that. I think that's, it's so well done. All of them are so well mm-hmm. done.
I totally agree. I started listening to 3 and I like literally could yeah. not stop. I yeah. had it on repeat.
I still do. You know? It's great.
Yeah, he does a podcast too and talks the whole backstory behind the creation and the little elements of that in his Sleeping At Last podcast.
Okay, so all of this I will put into show notes for everybody. So I'm trying to write down as much as I can. I appreciate that very much. Any resources you want to send over and put in show notes, I'll put them in there. Well, thanks for joining me for my first mini episode ever. I really thought this was a cool little segue into the Enneagram. Funny enough, I did an interview today and the guy coming out next Tuesday, Tyler Fivecoat, talks about the Enneagram and his business. And so I just think this is something that's going to keep going on. So next Tuesday, that new episode will be live just like normal. So look forward to that. It's an awesome interview. He's a cool guy. I think you're really going to enjoy. Until next time, get out there and hustle.